will you lead us in the pledge, please? Okay, board work session. Does anyone have anything for the board work session?
I have a couple items. One, this Thursday, August 18th at 5:30 is the Toll Springer Technical Center ice cream social. We welcome the kids back and parents come in and they get a chance to look over facilities that they're going to be in and meet with people and so on. And anyway, we have an open invitation. If anyone here would like to go to that, you're welcome. It starts at 5:30 in the Commons at Toll Springer Technical Center on State Route 42. You're all welcome to attend. Glad to have you. Give you a chance to look around, see the facilities up there, and to meet our new superintendent, who started as of August 1. And already she's making plans. Hasn't told us what they are yet, but we'll find out Thursday night after the ice cream social when we have our first board meeting. I've gotten several emails from her. She seems to be legislatively savvy. She knows a lot of people and she understands what's going on at the State House and with the Ohio Department of Education. Things have changed already. A gentleman by the name of, I believe, Stan Hefner is now our new state superintendent. And so far, I've gotten Gail Beebe another vote tonight. Sounds like this gentleman knows what he's doing. And hopefully we're going to see some things happening that hopefully it can be better for education. I know that as far as Toll's concerned, we have moved to a different area. Career and tech centers are now part of workforce education, which is as it should be. And we're going to be expected to, number one, train our young people and adults in the community for jobs that are up and coming. We're going to be evaluated on those things, and hopefully, if what the state is saying is true, that we're going to be paid for how well we produce, we should be in pretty good shape. At least that's what we're hoping. All remains to be seen, but there are some things going on that do seem to look pretty good for education. As I say, don't hold your breath. We'll see, and right now some of these things are looking pretty good. But again, ice cream social, Thursday night, 5:30, Tolls. If you like ice cream, good place to come. They get good stuff. Always have a good time. The other item that I had, I just wondered, I got from Linda the evaluations back. And what I guess was wondering, are we going to go over those as a board? And will there be, or are we going to make some expectations made just on the evaluation, not just on the goals that we're going to work on? I see that's in the superintendent's report. And I guess my question to the rest of the board is, do we need to sit down and go over these things and put some things in place so that we don't get surprised at a future board meeting? I don't like surprises when things come up at board meetings and all of a sudden something that's on an evaluation pops up and we've got people saying things that should have been done that have never been discussed before. So that's my question.
It's open for discussion, board members.
Are we doing, still doing the goal setting next month in September at that point?
Looks like.
Okay.
We go ahead and set a meeting up after that, and we can discuss it that night?
That would probably be a good place for that as well, don't you agree?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, then we'll wait till we get down to Mr. Hall's, and we can pick out a date then.
We can set your date now, I just want to put in a sort of.
Okay.
You want early September, late September, and then here at staff?
Maybe in the third week, or do you want it before the board meeting, September board meeting?
Okay. Well, Dave's unavailable the week of the 19th.
What about the fifth, week of the fifth, week of the 12th?
Week of the 12th?
Oh, I mean, any day one of these days.
How about the week of the 12th? That would give us a couple of weeks of school going on.
Right now, it's fine.
Okay, like the 12th or the 14th, Monday or a Wednesday, would that be all right with either one?
Monday would be okay.
How about you, Ken?
Yep, that'll work.
Monday?
Yes.
The 12th, September.
Time?
Time for seven?
And since that's gonna be a work session, where do you wanna hold that at? Do you wanna hold it at the board office, you wanna hold it here? Okay.
You want whatever the board wants to be.
Doesn't make any difference to me.
It's gonna be a work session and.
Okay.
There's no chairs in there.
Okay, this is fine. This is fine. Work session, 7:00? Okay. Okay.
Board office.
No, it's gonna be here.
Oh, here?
Here, mm-hmm.
This is the board office.
It's the board conference room.
Board conference room.
Mm-hmm.
Board conference room.
Ken?
Okay, got it.
Okay, any other, anyone else have anything for board work session? No?
Oh, I do have one thing.
Uh-huh.
Tim, I don't know, did you submit the registration form for the fall conference?
Yeah.
For the OSBA Central Region?
Central Region.
No, I haven't done that.
Okay.
Is it past due or?
No, it's not past due.
No, it's not due.
I just wanted, I think by our next meeting, it might be past due, so that.
It's September 28th.
I was gonna say, it's in September.
So if there's board members that are interested in going, let Tim know. Laura Spoon and your wife should probably go to see you get your award, and Alice and her husband.
Well, is everybody going?
I plan to go.
What night is it?
Wednesday.
Wednesday, September 28th.
Yeah, okay.
Other staff?
By the way, Jim Petro is gonna be the speaker, the keynote speaker for that evening.
Okay, no other items for the board work session? Okay, public communication, did we have anyone? No? Okay. Okay.
Don't be shy, speak up, come on.
Okay. All right, moving on to approval of minutes.
Madam President, I move that the minutes of the July 19, 2011 meeting be approved as written.
Second.
Motion by Ken, seconded by Don. Discussion. Excuse me, roll call, please.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Swanberg?
Yes.
Mr. Grant?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, Mr. Detweiler, financial?
Yeah. While Tim was getting ready, maybe I can just go ahead and cover some of my topics. It's going to be a couple minutes.
That's fine.
Then we can kill two birds with one stone. Our community open house scheduled for this Sunday, 2 to 5. I think everything's in line. I would appreciate if the board would come. All you have to do is just sort of be in the neighborhood, couple down, the other site, a couple up here, three, just interchange if you want to, meet people, whatever. That's really your role. Administrators have their roles. We have other things going on. We plan on having a ribbon cutting at both those locations about 2:15.
Mr. Hall, that has not been in the paper. It keeps saying that an open community open house will be announced later. I keep seeing that in the Madison Press. Do you know why it says that, Don? Dan? Dean? Do you know why it says that? It lists all of our open houses, but at the bottom it says a community open house has not yet been set. But we've talked about this, I think, before.
Okay.
Okay.
We can put it in there.
If you put a special in or something, so everyone will definitely know.
Yep.
And like Mr. Hall said, a ribbon cutting at 2:15, that might be nice for...
And we've tried to contact some of the TV stations, a couple of radio stations. This is a little pamphlet that we will have available to pass out to all the people that come. You're the first to see that, so if you see something on there you don't like, or you certainly have time to make a change. We hope the entire community comes out, goes through our facilities, this location, the 4-6 building, high school, the 7-8, even our bus compound will be available. People want to see what goes on in our bus compound. Sometimes you forget about that. That's pretty critical, too. So a little pamphlet, thanks to Vicki and her expertise, she put this together more or less. This is what it looks like, so hopefully that meets your approval.
The landscaping at the intermediate school. It's the only one with a decimal point, and it almost makes it look like we spent $3,750,000 on landscaping.
I saw that too, but I looked at it and said, I realized where that comma was.
It stands right out.
What that page down in, under the financial, basically that's what you're looking at that we have in our new facilities, our new classrooms. That's how it all shakes out. Now that we were looking at 3.2. Obviously, if you go down to the bottom, it's 3,450. But that is some more things that took place
since then
that wasn't really outside the project. What I'm trying to say.
On the down where it says high school grades 9 through 12 was built in 1977, that's an error there. It wasn't built in 1977. What year was it built?
It was opened in
19... It was completed in 78. 79 was the first class to go through it.
78 was the first class, I think.
79. I was the first class to graduate from that, and I graduated in 82.
Was it?
79, 80, 81, 82, first four classes. 77 is when they voted it in, but we still didn't have any. The ground wasn't even broken. 77, that was when my brother graduated.
I know we were in it in 78. One time, but we were in it.
Well, we could make that a 78, is that okay?
Well, I just want it to be right.
They knew you were coming, Dave. It depends on when the building was started or that you want in there. If you want it when it was occupied, then we can change it to 78.
You haven't got hundreds of these printed up there, right?
Yes.
Just one of those approximations. Remember you and I talked about that before? Approximating? Okay. I guess we can approximate that one then, right?
A lot of things in your original cost boom, like the paving project, wasn't in the original
But it's part of this. It wasn't in the original project.
Right, but those are some of the reasons why we got from 3.2 to 3.4.
Correct.
That's a pretty good chunk.
That's 132,000.
Right.
Well, Mike's statement then at 3.2 million.
Right.
On the project.
Correct.
There's a lot of things on top.
Correct.
How much of that are we carrying over, Jim?
How much of what are we carrying over?
Of that 3.4 million, how much of that are we financing?
2.1. And in December, we'll have to make a decision if we're going to pay that off, pay part of it off, roll it all over, and just pay interest. So, we'll talk about that in December.
Okay. That was what was interest on that, Tim? What, 2?
Oh, yeah, it's about 2%. So, which is real cheap money right now. Pretty cheap. You guys are...
Diane?
So with that, is there any other corrections on this? I will go back and do that tomorrow. And we'll get these out as much as we can, down to the business, just lay them around, so...
And then you're going to have these to pass out to the people that come?
Yes, correct.
And I think this is just a pet peeve. If she can make this a little smaller, then she can put that little phone number all the way across instead of underneath. You know, make that little bell and book just a little smaller, and then she can get her phone number underneath there, just like the others. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but it would just look better, I think. But it looks good. I like it. I think it's good. And I really like the emergency facilities. I like that being listed on there so people know what we're close to. If we have problems, everything's available. I think it all looks good.
If you flip to the back side, the completed projects, you look down in the future projects. We're going to keep moving, so we'll be coming back to you saying, hey, this is what we think we can do, and this is what we probably need to do if we think it's that important, especially down at number 7. I don't think it's out of reach, but the need is certainly there when it comes to kids having to wait their turns to get into the two gyms that we have now, basically. And I think the board, we really need to look at that and see if we can improve that part, if we can, with some community input here and there. And number 4, the marquee sign, we're going to go ahead and move on that because I think it's very important to our campus. Another way of keeping people informed, and I talked to you indirectly about that. And so that will be probably 3 to 4 weeks we'll have that thing on board. And that should pretty much complete what we're doing now, probably, as of today. So I can pick up on the other after Jim is done. And I'll take those back eventually. We'll make those changes and get these reprinted. Okay, Jim.
Last meeting we talked a little bit about fiscal year 2011, we just completed June 30th, and when we were going to talk about the year. I'm used to giving a state of the district on finances, and that's kind of what this is going to be. We've got 25 slides to go through. A lot of them are just quick hitters. Imagine you opened your checkbook and you're just flipping pages and hitting the highlights. Okay, we did this, we did this, I got this much money in, what was this for? It's kind of what we're gonna do tonight. I'm just gonna flip through, and as you have any questions, just go ahead and throw them at me. I'll do my best to answer them or get you an answer when I can. Again, we're not talking about the future. We're talking about last fiscal year and doing some comparisons of prior years beyond that to give you a basis for, okay, what's this number really mean? Where are we at? With that, by the way, I have to thank Joe and Nate. They just got this hooked up yesterday. If you notice, it's wireless. That's a pretty neat little piece. We just do everything, and here in a minute, Gail's going to do the same thing, and she'll be wireless, so it's a nice room. It's a really nice job for us. The outline, we're going to go through fund balances, and generally we talk about the general fund. That's your discretionary fund. We've got a lot more money that comes in, a lot more expenditures that we make throughout the course of the year, and we never talk about it because the forecast requires you to forecast general fund, and our spending plan, which shows our monthly transactions and the annual totals, is all general fund. So you never really look at the big picture of the district. A lot of people go out to the financials and they say, well, you've got a lot more money than what you're showing in your general fund, and they're right, but we're only required to report on general fund. So we're going to talk about all the fund balances. Revenues, we'll talk about all the revenues of the district tonight, and the expenditures, and then the areas of special interest within the budget. General fund balance. I'd like to look at the history a little bit. 2009, we were at $7.2 million. 2010, $8.9 million. 2011, we're at $9.6 million. I can tell you probably 95% of the school districts in the state are going this way. Okay? So we're very fortunate that we've got our budget under control. Even with this project, we still are projecting that general fund will at least maintain itself. By about 2015, we'll start seeing some decline, and we need to look at that in our forecast discussion in September.
But we are in a pretty good position. Permanent Improvement Fund. A lot of people, we heard about that during the last campaign. What about your Permanent Improvement Fund? You got that money sitting over there. And they were correct in that we had $827,009, $1.5 million in fiscal year 10, and $598,000 as of June 30th of 11. Why did it drop so much?
Because we spent $1 million.
We transferred $1 million over, okay? So we used it, and it's going towards this project. That's why we're only financing $2.1 million instead of $3.1 million. And that's because you manage your budget as far as the Permanent Improvement Fund goes, save those funds, put it towards this project. Other funds. These aren't all other funds. These are just some specific ones. I apologize if it's tough to read. The cafeteria fund. It's right here. Has the green highlights. You can see it dropped off. It came back up in fiscal year 11. Again, I think in 10, we saw that we had to make some changes. Mr. Hall, working with Marcia and other folks in the cafeteria, made some changes, and now we're back up to just over $38,000 as an ending balance in June, and we hope that that's going to continue to grow. The red is the principal's accounts. A lot of people forget that the principals have discretionary funds through fundraising, picture sales and things like that, in which they have money. These are all principal funds. Each building has their own. You can see they went roughly 18,000, 20,000, back down to about 15,000 in fiscal year 11. I know part of that was the buildings that were being closed, in particular Madison Rural. They used a lot of their funds towards the end of the year. The principal was leaving, and so she used it on her staff and her kids. And that's appropriate because they're the ones that generated money. Your student activities up here. I'm not sure what happened in 10, spiked quite a bit in 11. And that fluctuates tremendously from year to year. Just how many fundraisers kids have, how successful they are. And then your athletics. We've talked a lot about athletics at this point. 09, we were in the black. At 10, we were in the red by a few thousand bucks. And fiscal year 11, we show that we're about 19,000. But again, the board transfer funds over to help the athletic funds. Okay? That's one that Mr. Hall and I and Matt watch very closely. I'm working a lot with Matt, and he's very anxious to stay on top of his budget, which is kind of exciting for me. he wants to make sure that he stays in the black. So I expect that number is going to continue to rise. Our revenues. Your local sources. What are those? Well, that's your local taxes. Anything that's generated locally is going to roll in here. We just talked about student activities. Those fundraisers are considered local sources. So that's going to be in here. Anything local is going to fall under here. 60% of our revenue for all funds comes in locally. Your state. And this is more than just state aid. This is anything that comes from the state. Reimbursements. You get a lot of reimbursement. Tangible personal property tax reimbursement comes from the state. It'll show up here. Any state grants will show up there. Okay. Federal programs, $1.4 million. The thing that's a little deceiving, we'll talk a little bit more about that later, $1.4 million, that includes a lot of stimulus money. Okay. And we'll talk about how much here in a little bit. So you'll see these percentages go up as this number goes down this next fiscal year. Okay. That's just one way to look at your revenues. Another way is by type. Okay. A lot of times folks don't look at their budget this way, but you kind of need to see, all right, here's where the local source, state source, but what is it? What makes it up? Taxes in fiscal year 11, $6.2 million in taxes. Tuition, okay, tuition. How do we collect so much in tuition? We don't have that many kids that are paying to go here. Well, you do. It's open enrollment. About $797,000 of this $872 is tuition money through open enrollment that's coming to us. The state's giving us those funds, okay? We'll talk about it here in a minute, but that's not just straight revenue, though, because there's an offset to that. Investments, $54,000. That's abysmal. There's not a whole lot anybody can do about it. We do have some funds, about $500,000 that we put in commercial paper. We went from 0.25 to 0.05, so I mean, 0.025 to 0.05. So, you know, you're not going to take a lot of risk out there for a minimal return. Food services. $347,000 in revenues. That number is down from our history, and we'll talk about that in a minute why. Extracurriculars, that's all of your student activities as well as your district-managed activities. District-managed activities are choir, band, athletics, and they also get combined up in here. Class fees, $53,000. Miscellaneous local revenues, okay, $1.5 million. Sale of notes and assets, this is new, $2.1 million. Now we got $2.1 as the loan, the $31,000 is what we booked already from the auctions. Okay, you got $31,000 out there. As well as, I think there was a sale that Joe had. He sold phones and a couple other things. So. State grants, $107,000. State grants are just about all gone. We're not getting much at all anymore. State aid, $6.2 million. And again, that number is going to include stimulus funds that are flowing through the state. We'll talk about how much here in just a minute. And there's your federal grants again. Just another way of looking at your revenues. History, this is a busy chart, but I think it shows easy, like your taxes. You know, we're flowing along here, and all of a sudden we got this spike out here in fiscal year. That would be 10. The reason why there was a spike, that was the first year that we had an advance in July of the next fiscal year's money. And that's okay if you do that, but you have to make sure you're accounting for that. And that one year, we had a big spike, and then the next year, you don't have that advance. It looks like a big drop-off. It's not really. If you didn't have the county auditor giving us that advance in July, we got it in August, this would be a perfect level increase. Okay. State aid also had some fluctuation in fiscal year 10. Again, that has to do with stimulus money flowing through. First year was the big year, second year is a little bit less. Your sale of notes and assets, your miscellaneous local is steady. You get a sense of where the big dogs are in our budget. You can see if this and this are impacted, it hurts us tremendously. The others, we would make it. So the expenditure side for a minute. Looking at this big piece of pie, your wages obviously are the big dog. Benefits are right there with it. Purchase services, that's all your utilities, that's your ESC purchases. Any of the big contracts we have flow through purchase service contracts right here. Capital outlay, you can see it's at $3 million. That's at an all-time high from what I can see. And again, that's because of this project that shows up here. Now, this is where, as an accountant, you can play with numbers. And I don't like to do that, so I'd like to explain how other people might try to do this. Fiscal year 8, wages were at 45% of our expenditures. In 11, they're at 41%. While we're doing a great job, we're controlling our salaries and benefits. We're doing a great job here. Not at all. Not that we're not, but that's not what this is saying. What happened was capital outlay jumped up tremendously by 10%. And so, of course, that's going to decrease what these look like. So if I wanted to, I could just put that out, and we could sell that as, hey, look at what we did. We're really controlling our wages and benefits. Well, we are. But not by that amount. Okay, it's a little deceiving. So if you've got somebody in the community that just is taking a look at that and saying, wow, they're well underneath everybody else. Well, we do a good job, but it's because one year we have this spike in capital outlay. So that would be a little deceiving to tell folks that. Okay, we are doing a good job. I'm not saying that, but I don't want to confuse people, which I probably just did. The history, and I apologize, I worked all day trying to get this chart cleaned up a little bit, but it looks like, wow, what was he trying to say here? All I did was buy what's on the spending plan, these areas, wages, benefits, purchase services, supplies, capital outlay, and other, and laid it out in stacks. So you can see the blue is the wages, then you have your benefits, purchase services, supplies, capital outlay, and then other expenses. So it's in a stack. You get a sense of what I was just saying was, this is your fiscal year 11, and that's where you can see that the capital outlay increased a lot. Okay, so it smooshes things a little bit from the previous year. I mean, we're pretty much steady each year what our percentages are in the areas we spend, but then you come here and it's kind of skewed. Okay. Another way of looking at expenditures is buy buildings and departments. Okay? Who's spending the money? High school, usually you see your high school as one of your big spending items. Special ed, sorry Trish, but it's one of your big ones too, but it always has been. Everywhere you go, special ed demands a lot of money and it gets it. The junior high is next, Madison Rural and Sterling came in about the same. And Midway was quite a bit less. One thing we did in setting up the budgets for the elementary and the intermediate for this year, they're pretty balanced. When I lay this chart up here for this next year, those two should be pretty even, okay, the K-3 and the 4 through 6. Treasurer's office, one of our single largest expenditures is the auditor and treasurer fees that we have to pay to the county for collecting our taxes. So when you see this number, it's not Tim and his office staff having a lot of lunches, although they do like to eat. That's not what it is. Transportation, $890,000. That's usually at the mercy of whatever gas prices, fuel prices are. And then you can go right on down through and see the superintendent's office at $224,000. Technology, maintenance, the board at $44,000. Yes, you do have a budget, and yes, we do spend your money for you. Okay? So it's things that we know you want to do. And then the district. District-wide accounts, these are simply expenditures that are not tagged to these other buildings and departments. $3.5 million of that right now is for the project. That's all got a district-wide code assigned to it, so it's not going to be any of these departments. So if you're wondering what are they doing out there, not telling us what it is, that's the big chunk of that. Areas of interest. This was news to me this past week. There have been Board of Revision requests for reductions. Board of Revision, if you don't know, is the county board made up of the county treasurer, the auditor, and the prosecuting attorney. They receive requests from taxpayers to reduce the property values. They're the Board of Revision. They had two large requests, one from Showa, one from Ohio Milk Partners. At this date, Showa has been reduced by $3.7 million from $10 million plus to $6 million plus. This is one that we have to discuss if we're going to appeal or not. We can do an appeal, but it's going to cost us an appraisal. So we'll have to have a conversation about that. Ohio Milk Partners was reduced $801,000. And again, these are valuation reductions. So if you're sitting there saying, well, we lost all that money, take this number times 0.0032, and that'll tell you what we lost. Okay. Somewhere between $15,000 to $20,000. That's why you have to kind of, if you want to do an appraisal, you have to see how much the appraisal is going to cost you, and if you'll gain back, you know, a million of this, how much is it in real dollars for the district versus the appraisal? State aid. House Bill 153 is passed by the state legislature. It expedites the phase-out of tangible personal property reimbursements. As you know, we get personal property tax reimbursement from the state of Ohio. They expedited that with House Bill 153. If it stays in as planned, we'll lose $250,000 over what we're going to get this fiscal year and next fiscal year. That equates to a 4% reduction each year over what we had forecasted. Okay? That has to be put in the forecast. That piece is not in there yet. So when we sit down next month and talk about it, that's the first thing I have to plug in there. Okay? Now keep in mind, that's next year and the following year, but it stays out for the 3 years following as well. So that's a big chunk of our budget. Okay. Fortunately, when we were showing that chart with our balances looking good, we're still looking good, we're just not quite as good. Tuition, we talked earlier about it, it's the open enrollment, $797 is the money coming in, kids coming here, students leaving, took out $737,000 in state aid to other districts. So the net, we're positive, $56,000. That's where you want to be. It'd be great if you had all kids coming in and that extra money, but we don't.
Mr. Detloff.
Yes.
Is it all right if I ask?
Yeah, please.
Does that represent roughly like 10 kids then, the difference between what we're bringing in and what we're losing?
Well,
we're bringing in 10, what we're losing roughly?
You'd like to think that we were going to get $5,500 a kid, but we don't. It doesn't work out that way. Class fees and cafeteria revenues. Both these areas saw declines in fiscal year 11.
The reason being is due to a continued increase in free and reduced lunch eligible students. Okay? The cafeteria is okay because we get reimbursed from the federal government for those kids on free and reduced. That money we lose, we get reimbursed by the feds. It takes a long time to get it, but we do get that money eventually. The problem with class fees is if they're on free and reduced, we have to waive their fees. Well, that's just a straight loss to the district. Okay? And since we're already not charging the full price for those class supplies that we provide, we're really losing big on that piece. So I just want to make sure the board knows you're losing quite a bit of money with those waivers. Federal grants. Fiscal year 11, we received $423,000 federal stimulus funds. That accounted for 2% of our overall revenues to the district. We are not going to receive that money from the federal government in the future, as far as we know. That reduction has been included in the forecast. So that's not going to bite us. It bit a lot of people. They counted on money coming in from somewhere, and it's not going to happen. How did we spend those monies? $62,000 went to salaries, $55,000 for benefits, $139,000 for services, primarily utilities. I have to make sure that for fiscal year 12, I recognize that in 11, all of our electric bills are paid by stimulus monies, and now it's going to be paid by general fund. So you have to make sure that's built into the forecast, which it is right now. Supplies, $155,000, and capital outlay, $10,000. So that's where your stimulus money went. Payroll, pretty basic. Our payroll expenditures decreased by 2% from fiscal 10 to 11, which is great. We had several people that left during the year for various reasons. We had a 2% increase in base pay. So we did very well on managing an increase in base pay and still coming out with a decreased payroll. That's what you want to see. A lot of school districts are, they've got that base and their step, and then they're, you know, it's just a straight increase. And we're fortunate in that through our reductions in management of our staff, we didn't have that problem. Your benefits, retirement benefits remained unchanged in 11. Remember that the entire retirement legislation is still before the retirement workers. They can still come back and make changes. They've requested that STRS, they want a different actuarial come in and look at the estimates that were done by their in-house actuarials. They're delaying any changes, which makes the situation worse. If they were to institute the changes they've asked for already, it would start to correct itself, but they're delaying it. I don't know why. I don't think it makes sense to delay, but they have. And it's just going to make things worse. They're going to have to do more when they finally make a change. So it's going to be more painful. Your medical insurance premiums increased by 21% in fiscal year 11. Overall benefit costs went up 14%. Why didn't it go up 21%? Because the medical insurance premiums cover two fiscal years. So we saw part of the hit last year, and we'll see part of that hit this year. Capital outlay, you see this chart you did in the flyers that you've got handed out there. They increased dramatically due to the facility improvements that we made in 11. Here's the abbreviated list. Obviously, your buildings themselves are the biggest chunk of that. Over $3 million of the 3.4, but as I think Mr. Brent pointed out, there's several things on here that weren't in the original project budget of $3.2 million, the biggest of which is the paving for the entire district. There's various other things, even within these numbers that aren't broken out, that weren't planned for originally that we've included. Just little things throughout, but it adds up as you go through. They're all things that have been talked about. Estimates, the two budget tools that the board uses for their budget is for forecasting is the spending plan and the five-year forecast. The spending plan is the tool that you use monthly to look at how we managed our budget this month and for the year. We're going to look at that, talk about that right now. The October spending plan called for the fiscal year 11 general fund ending balance to be $10 million, almost 10.1. We revised that. If you remember, throughout the year, the state was changing what was going to happen throughout the year. We weren't sure where we were going to land. We revised it to 9.9 million. Our final balance has come in at 9.6 million. So we're a little bit off of the balance that we projected through the spending plan. It's still within 3%, but we are above what we have in the forecast. Okay? And the reason being is I'm much more conservative on the forecast, because that's the one that, you know, you're going to plan your levies around and things like that. Your short-term budget tool, the spending plan, you can adjust for that. Okay? The five-year forecast, if I come to you and I say, hey, in 2016, we're going to have $20 million, and we get out there and we've got seven, then Tim shouldn't be around. Okay? That's too big of a miss. But we did come underneath the forecast amount. The next steps, this fiscal year, we've got to adopt our permanent appropriations next board meeting. We've got to have to present the spending plan for this year to you at that board meeting. And the five-year forecast, we need to have a discussion to make sure that the board is okay with the assumptions we've made. If you are, we'll ask you to approve it at that meeting. I will ask you to approve it anyhow. If you don't like some of the assumptions, I can change it the next day and resubmit. Again, you don't have a deadline of when you have to have it in. You just have to have two of them submitted. So, any questions?
Yeah, I've got one. Go back to the tuition one for me. So Mr. Bean asked the question, if that's roughly 10 kids, and you said you'd like to see us get, or we'd like to think we get $5,500. Tim, I've always been on the assumption we never got that anyway. It was around 54 and some odd change, correct?
That's the starting point for the state.
Is where, 55 or 54, like 54, 75, for example?
It's something like that. I don't know off the top of my head, but they adjust that number down. I mean, you have the charge off, you have any number of things that brings you down, you know, $2,500. You don't get nearly what the state says is the full amount. So when they say, here's the formula amount, that's their starting point. Then you go through the full page formula and you're down here at the bottom, you're like, well, I didn't get that times my enrollment. And it's because they have all kinds of adjustments.
So we're taking in 797, right? And we're losing 736.
Correct.
So where did you get those numbers from?
You can go to the OD website.
And that's how much, that's what I'm trying to find out. How much is that number that they're saying we're getting? They round it off to 5,500, or?
Oh, the base amount? Yeah, ODE has that. It's right there on our the settlement sheet. They call it the PASS formula. That's what it was before the new legislature came in. And the PASS formula says, here's what you're gonna get per child. And then, that's the top. And then there's a whole page of adjustments made to that number.
Okay. Because roughly, if you look at that number, and this is for Mr. Bean to answer you, that would be 11 children with that number. It's actually, if we don't get the whole 5,500, it's roughly 10 kids, 10 and a half kids. I don't know what you're doing with that half kid. I haven't seen him run around yet. But I would like to be able to look that up and give me that. So I like what that number is, because I've been telling everybody it's around $5,400. And then when you said 55, that threw me for a loop. I want people to know what that number is that's traveling with these children.
I can do that.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Next meeting, like I said, we'll have a discussion of the forecast. Next meeting coming up.
We don't know where we are for this coming year as far as open enrollment yet, correct?
For
2012.
No.
Sure not.
We won't know that until really school is starting.
Until you do the ADM count? Or?
Okay. Tim, thanks for keeping us out of trouble, buddy.
Nothing official. We know pretty much where we stand based on life.
But you can quit spending that board's budget, too. I don't remember us getting to spend it. I know we sure as heck didn't spend it on these chairs. Am I the only one who thinks these chairs are uncomfortable? Maybe it's just because of my bad leg. Man, it's killing me sitting in this chair.
Hey, Bo, you have some chairs that you can pee by, don't you?
Go get my cart for me, will you? You guys promised me you'd have one this time.
Does the ADM work the same way as that, as far as the money we get per child?
The same as the ADM, the same. Yeah, as far as the funding we get based on the counts, then. Well, the biggest problem you got with funding is we're all guaranteed. So you're guaranteed to get the same amount you got back in 2009. So when you come to that, it doesn't really matter. I know what you're saying. Tuition is, there's a whole separate formula for the open enrollment. It starts with,
the base amount that Dave's talking about. But then it's got its own separate page as to how they come up with the amount per child you're going to get and how much is going to go away. And I can provide that to you.
So isn't there some lost funding there somewhere? Because to say that child was enrolled in a different district, and say that district got, you know, $5,500 for that child, and say they decide to come here, and say ours is $25,000, where's the other $3,000?
No, it's the same for every
Trish.
School. The formula is the same for every school.
Okay.
As far as, that's why I say open enrollment has its own page, separate formula.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's, and that's the same for every school. They start with their 54, 60, whatever that number is. I should
wham,
have
wham, wham.
That's the starting right. point. And then you say, okay, here's the adjustments we're going to make. Now, Madison Plains has 70 kids coming in, so they get this amount. West Jeff has 60 going out. They lose this amount, and so on. Everybody has the same factors.
Very, very complicated point.
Yeah, it just seems like if it costs the resident district $5,500 a year to educate that child, why wouldn't it cost $5,500 a year to educate that child to the open enrollment district?
Okay. Everybody's gaining the same amount, losing the same amount in open enrollment. That formula is standard.
Right. But the reasoning doesn't seem correct.
Depends on where you sit.
Right. You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
I can't address the logic.
No. Right. I understand.
Michael, that kind of falls under that whole thing about potential tax base, too.
Right.
That's not right how they look at it.
Right.
Because that's not reality.
You have the potential to raise a lot of money. You can't do it because you can't pass a levy, but you have the potential.
Right. And that's how they look at it, and that's how they judge us. That's not right.
I love that one.
And thank you very much. That made my leg feel much better. Thank you.
Thanks, Tim.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Detweiler.
Just a comment to the board. I know everyone's paying attention because this is where a lot of school district boards get in trouble. When these things are presented, you have questions you don't ask or concerns. This thing is put in there to keep you abreast of what's going on. There's no surprises. There's no I told you so, no you didn't. And I think Tim does a good job keeping all of us updated. I think that's what you want.
Yep.
That's correct.
Very clear.
Okay, nothing further, Mr. Detweiler?
With that, Madam President, I'd like to make a motion upon recommendation of Treasurer July 2011 fiscal or financial statements be accepted as presented.
I'll second.
Hold on, I'm sorry. I apologize. That's what needs to be stricken. An agenda.
Well, you don't need to work on this one.
Correct.
Financials.
You don't have it, so
I withdraw my
that
withdrawn motion. Okay. Okay. So moving on then, superintendent's report.
Okay. On the community house, just one other point. If you have a Madison Plains shirt like Mike's got, feel free to wear that Sunday, and so people know that you'll have name tags for you. Board of Education, whatever. Pull out your Madison Plains attire. We all want to wear Madison Plains shirts, all the illustration. Okay. August 18th is our first day for our staff in service. We have a couple, not full days planned, but we have some good stuff on the agenda starting at 8 o'clock on Thursday. Certainly, we'd ask the board to come and share breakfast with us and talk to the staff. We hope to have as many of our staff there, teachers, custodians, bus drivers. We've invited them all. We'd like for them to come. We're going to have some special recognition that I would need some help. And if you can make it to our past retirees, we will recognize them, give them a plaque, a little certificate, whatever. Anyone that's got perfect attendance, things like that. So be flexible.
Don't we usually recognize those retirees at the September meeting?
Well, that's a September. That's a different thing where we present them a talk.
Oh.
That's another.
Okay.
This is for everyone.
Okay.
Breakfast starts at 7:30.
Breakfast at 7:30. We'll have lunch. later on, 11:30. Any questions or concerns about the 19th? That's our first day of our teacher, really our staff in service. We've had cook meetings, we'll have secretaries tomorrow, we've had bus drivers. We're ready to go on the 23rd when the kids are ready. And all the new buildings, all the new classrooms, 7-8, we're ready to go. We'll do some, a few more things and they'll be ready for kids. As you came in, certainly you saw some of the landscaping that's going on. I think that has done a lot to improve our buildings, to make them stand out, to give them a little class. Drive down by the high school, back in that area, and you'll see that there's things going on in those areas too that just screws everything up. They should finish that up probably tomorrow in the landscaping. That's the only crew that we've had up to this time that's really kept their time schedule. I've told them, thanks guys, because I don't think I could take two or three more dragons. We talked about our board goals. I think that's very important, as Don keeps reminding us, that we get those and get some. And I think when we look at board goals, it's not, we don't need 15 or 20, we just need a couple, zero in on cover here that we really want to dwell on, to look at and take it from there. It's not a, I don't think it has to be a long drawn out process, but it has to be a well thought out process.
That's measurable.
Always. The blacktop status, obviously the 4-6 and the K-3 lot is done here. Looks real nice. But we have the base at the other location down. It'll be a few days before they get that complete. And our 50 by 100 playground area hasn't been done yet. And that, we'll try to tie that into when we get our road. I've talked to everyone I know to talk to from our representative, Bob Hackett. I don't know how to get these people to move from the transportation department. But we'll do the best we can. We think we have a plan where we get the parents in and out of here until we get that in. If you look at, we have student drop-off routes, we have bus routes lined out. We plan to have the sheriff's department here to sort of keep the traffic moving off 38.
Now, your bus route will remain that way even if we get that route out there, right?
Yes, yes.
Because what we'll do is just run on drop-offs, run one out that way, right?
Right.
Okay.
We get the road in day, we've got another plan that we want to keep the buses and the cars separated if all possible. So we will tweak that a little bit once we get that road in. We want it safe, and a lot of people are going to get a little upset with us, but I wouldn't have a kid hurt for all the people. They can all get mad at me. We keep it safe for kids. So, and it'll be hectic the first few days. Believe me, when you come here, if you get here around 7:15, 7:30, you'll be in the line from here probably to Newport.
Now, since you brought that up about the blacktop, down at the tennis court, is there any way we can take that out closer to that ditch line? Just to add, yeah, but I mean, we got to look at that kind of stuff because we're going to have a shortage of parking places now.
We can certainly put that in consideration for our next round.
I mean, there is the potential. I was looking at that. There's a big grassy area. We
can
move
that off and have twice the size. Exactly.
Because we're going to have to look for some place to start more parking, don't you think?
Well, last year we started parking people behind, and that helped. Of course, when it's wet, that doesn't help football games. But other than football games, that's about the only time you have a backup, maybe some special venue.
Well, the thing I'm thinking of is when the snow starts to fly, if we don't get some place to put all that, you're going to be that much shortage when we have foul weather, places to run the parents for drop-offs, and you're going to have people to be able to park, or associates have to have a place to park.
Now, we, as far as the teacher, we have everyone. Like, this lot has 80-some spots right here. And that should...
80 in there?
Yes. 70, I think 76 from 3 or 4 handicap spots. That's just counting right here, not counting that along that side over there.
Okay.
But certainly if that's a concern the board has...
Well, I just think of us moving over here... We're going to have to look for more parking place, right? Because people parking along on the side of that road is not an option anymore. That ditch line is just way too dangerous for people to park along.
People will park there regardless, Dave. Mm-hmm. We've got the sheriff out there to steal parking.
We'll get you a tow truck, start towing them. They're expensive.
They tear your grass up, they tear the side of your blacktop up, and they park in front of a high school. We can't wean them from that. People will go in there and kill or high water. And pull right off along and right off the side of that blacktop and that continually feel that blacktop. Something we keep working on. At the high school, we still come in front of the high school with the buses. We're going to ask all the parents to go to the back to pick up students and let students off so we can again separate that bus, keep those buses and cars apart as much as we can. But even saying that, unless you have someone out there, you'll have someone come right in behind the bus or right beside the bus or cut a bus off. I don't like it other than we hire a full-time deputy, and I'm not sure that would solve it. But we have to work with it, be careful. But the blacktop should have been done August the 10th. Now that I think about that, I wish I'd put a $5,000 or $500 a day penalty after the 10th, because that was part of the deal that it should have been done by the 10th of August. You guys let me down. Number six that's not on yours is class size. Our class size are balancing out real well. We thought maybe we could get by with four kindergarten classes, and up to a couple days ago we were okay, but we're up to 101 kindergartners now, so we will have to bring in another kindergarten teacher and cut those classes down to around 19 or 20 per class.
You got a place for them?
We have one room left, and that was going to be our Chinese room, so we're going to have to relook at. I guess we have a room.
Okay.
We were thinking, it's in the back of our mind, but it's there.
We get a room in next year as part of our growth program.
We can do it.
Along with that, along with the pre-K room.
We know how to do it.
How is the pre-K numbers?
17 right now.
Okay.
17 is probably go up to 20, 25.
Okay. How about bus routes? We're going to put them in the paper? Or?
We have, that's my next topic here. Going out probably in the mail tomorrow, everyone that signed up with Madison Plains will get a bus route time pickup and everything. We're not going to put them in the paper, because a lot of times people don't take the paper, they don't read the paper, they don't understand it when they see it. Mm-hmm. But each parent, now if they're not registered, obviously they're not going to get one of these. Each parent will get, and I'll pass that around. It'll tell them the approximate time. It'll tell them the approximate time they're picked up, where to go to be picked up if it's different than their home, and what time they will, approximate time they'll get home.
Could we put like a little notice in the paper that if they don't, you know, in case they've moved and we don't have their current address, that if they aren't notified by a postcard, that maybe they should call the building.
We will address that at our open house. Okay. Houses. If they're not registered, then let us know.
And so we can get them information.
And Sam plans to set up at the open houses and field questions, whatever.
Okay.
And once we get everyone on our system, I'll pass around another. Each kid will have a identity card when he gets on that bus. And we've got little tags like kindergarten. We'll tag that to them. So when they go through the lunch line, when the teachers come in, the teachers will know their name. When they get on the bus, that driver will know that kid lives at 317 Northeast 20th Court. It's not a house with a green roof. When you have 700 kids, you have to account for that. So that's what those will look like when we get them.
Still managing to separate ages on buses to some degree.
Maybe. We will pick up. It will be pretty difficult, Mike, because we'd have to run all over to keep kindergarten, first grade, whatever. Even in the village, even midway or whatever, we'd have to go. It would involve too many buses, but we do separate them once they get on the bus. Try to keep the kids in the back, right cut on that.
Now, in Mount Sterling, are you having pickup points, or are they just going to their houses to pick them up?
No, they'll be pickup points.
There is pickup points.
In other words, if you get on the bus at Mount Sterling, it'll tell you, go to the old, in front of the old school, and this is your pickup. Mm-hmm. Or up on Rosewood, up on New Street, go to this point. The bus will be there at a certain time. But there's one bus that goes down there and just picks up, right up at the Nazarene Church, for example. Mm-hmm. That'll be the only pickup. They'll swing out and they'll pick up a couple stops on the way over here. Hmm. 25 to 30 minutes once they leave the village of Mount Sterling, they'll be here on this side. So people saying it's an hour, no. Now, 53, 55 minutes in the Fairfield area, all the way over in Bigger Road, I can't do much about that. You know, and there's two routes over there that really is up into the 50 minute, a little longer than I like. But the only choice we have is to, if we put another bus in there, it would still be 40 minutes, 45 minutes, because it takes 20, 25 minutes.
Mr. Hall, it's always been that way. There's nothing we can do.
Yeah, that's the farthest corner, so I don't think that's a problem. I think it's
but Sam's worked hard. I love her. She's gotten mad at me and cried a few times, but.
You made her cry? Boom, come on.
But the new transportation system that we have has really been helpful. We can do some hypothetical, lasso some kids in and bring them in. And
so all of our kids are going to have this. Are they going to have to show these kid when they get on the bus? Or
we'd like for them to have it pinned to them when they get on the bus. So that driver knows there's no mistake.
So they're going to have it before they pick them up, before first day of school?
We're going to make those available at open house.
And if they're not at open house?
We will mail it to them.
Okay. What I'm saying is we're going to have this all the time?
All the time.
I mean, if you get a substitute driver.
Well, if you have a substitute, if you had that, it works out even better.
That's a problem.
That's really affecting the first few weeks of school. Work for transportation, getting kids on the right bus, getting them on the right seats, drivers to be familiar with what they look like. But it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of time to put all that together. Good job.
Anything else, Mr. Hall?
See you on the 18th.
Okay. Or before. Yeah. 18th. Okay.
Madam President, I make a motion upon recommendation of the superintendent the board approve the second and final reading of the following board policies required by the state of Ohio listed below.
I'll second.
Motion by Dave, seconded by Mike. Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Chalmers?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Madam President, I make the motion upon recommendation of the superintendent the board approve the second final reading of board policy IGBG-R homebound instruction as presented.
Second.
I'll second that.
I got motion by Dave, seconded by Ken. Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board employ Kylie Ogg as on a one-year contract as music instructor, step 4 MA, effective August 19, 2011.
I'll second that.
Motion by Ken, seconded by Dave. Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Madam President, I'll make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board accept with regret the retirement of the following classified staff member. The employee has elected to participate in the retirement incentive plan. The employee will receive an enhanced severance amount of 40% of their sick leave days and a contribution of $4,000 into the health savings account of their choosing. That's for Cindy Mace, effective September 30, 2011.
I'll second that.
Motion by Mike, seconded by Dave. Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Swonger?
Yes.
Mr. Warlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Make a motion that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board approve the following athletic supplemental nominations to be paid in accordance with the MPEA negotiated contract effective 2011-2012 school year. Michael Dotz, all of the above except with one change, Taylor Evans. He'll be volunteer girls varsity golf coach, not volunteer boys. Volunteer girls varsity golf coach. And all of those listed.
I'll second that.
Motion by Linda, seconded by Dave. Discussion?
Is there a cost to any of these?
Volunteers?
No, they're not all volunteers.
If they're Elizabeth not a volunteer.
Ames isn't a volunteer issue.
They're just paid in accordance.
Yeah, they'll just be paid in accordance with the contract.
Well, see, we normally put that on there.
It is.
At a level. I don't have any costs on mine.
Oh, you mean what level?
Yeah.
You don't have to. That's why it's
okay, I just. That's fine.
Because it's just according to whatever the negotiated agreement is.
The contract says is what they're going to be paid. And what happened for the past is that's one of the big things that we've had typos in. So if you put in accordance with the negotiated contract, we have to pay in accordance with that. So you as a board can't say we're not going to pay what's in the contract. So you're just repeating what you're
saying. I understand what you're saying there, but some of that on the negotiated contract, it says, for example, you're going to put a varsity assistant football coach in it. Now, when you do the varsity assistant football coaches in the future, besides the ones, is Mike going to get paid?
Mike Dotz?
Yeah. Okay, so then what level is he coming in at?
Well,
it's not according to what the contract states, because that one's going to come in at a level. The contract states he's going to be paid in this scale frame, right? At this level, this much. That's what you normally put on there. It's not on this one, so I don't know what level he's coming in at.
What step?
What step is...
Right. He's going to be paid in accordance to the contract and whatever step his experience level warrants. So, I mean, it's... You're asking why it's not on here. That's why it's not on there, because it's already been approved in the past. You've approved the steps, and Mr. Hall, through the HR department, will determine what level they're supposed to be paid on. They tell... Treasurer's office according to the contract based on the level he assigns. So,
okay.
Putting additional information in here that really the board doesn't have to repeat. You don't have control over that at this point. You've already approved it through ratification of the negotiated agreement. So you're kind of like repeating yourself.
Now, having said that, the board wants that on there, Christian Board, we'll strive to put the levels on there. They want something like we put a step four, and then after we get all the paperwork in, it might we find out it's step five or maybe step three that it changed.
And then we'd need another resolution to make that change.
That's right.
Okay.
We can do whatever that you
want. I don't care.
Okay. All right. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Blankenship.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Swonger?
Yes.
Mr. Moorlock?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board accept an agreement between Madison County, London City Health District, and Madison Plains Local Schools for the school nurse services for the 2011-2012 school year as presented.
Second.
Motion by Ken, seconded by Mike. Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Moorlock?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Swonger?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Madam President, I'll make a motion upon recommendation of the superintendent the board authorize travel to Orlando, Florida for the varsity softball team to participate in the ESPN Wide World of Sports spring training. All travel expenses will be paid through fundraising efforts and or student payments. The trip will take place April 1st through the 6th, 2012. There are no financial obligations to the board.
I'll second that.
Motion by Mike, seconded by Don. Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Swonger?
Yes.
Mr. Moorlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board authorize the advertisement to accept sealed bids for the purchase of 278 passenger school buses.
I'll second.
Motion by Don, seconded by Ken. Discussion?
What's the current going rate for 78 passenger bus?
Respectively, anywhere from 85 to 90,000.
That's up a little bit, Todd.
I remember when we bought the last one, we said the next time, the next round,
it's going to be higher.
With the with the emission system going on, it's going to be another $10,000.
And that's been what, 3 years?
3 years ago. We had that, if you recall our long range plan, we had that scheduled for 2012, two more buses. But with putting two routes on in the Mount Sterling area, I felt we've got three backup buses, and that's a little close to what I like. But you have two or three recalls, factory recalls, then you're out if you don't have any buses. So we're just sort of stepping that up a few months.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Moreland?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board authorize advertisement to bid for replacement of chain link fence at the following central campus locations. Baseball field, softball field, junior high, softball and baseball field, tennis courts, and bus compound. As needed.
I'll second.
Motion by Don, seconded by Mike. Discussion?
I want to feel what you need to get these areas upgraded. I'm not going to tell you we're going to do them all necessarily, but we'll see where we stand. It's not that they don't all need, especially the tennis court. You notice that fence, it's been there since 1978, and it's getting pretty ragged. It's, it needs some attention.
Okay.
Likewise, some of our backstops.
We're going to do the work.
That's
it out.
It's, we just don't have the capability to do it. That's pretty good. That's pretty good size. This would be a 50-60,000.
Okay, roll call.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Moreland?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I'll make a motion that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board authorize it. Advertisement to bid for replacement of entry doors, two sets at the high school building.
I'll second it.
Motion by Linda, seconded by Dave. Discussion?
He's going to be.
They're much needed, I know that.
Yeah, they're the ones in the front.
Very front. Yeah,
I don't know if we can get to another year or not. So, yeah, I asked them up last year. This time we got to make a move, and that's a pretty good expenditure. It's over what we're allowed to spend.
Oh, it is.
It's probably a $50,000, $60,000, $40,000.
It's not all of them.
But it can.
Well, I also think it they'll serve better and they'll look a lot better because those down there now are really.
We have replaced a lot of doors, and certainly those main entry doors have not had the attention. Mm-hmm. The back doors were replaced and got those online, so we need to look at.
I think those are the original doors, are they not?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
What are those
going to
be, like aluminum storefront type doors or?
Something like we have, only be, we won't have that much glass in it probably. Like the back entry door when you come into the high school is probably something like that is what I would shoot for.
So I'd say since they're original doors, I think we've done pretty good. I think it's about time.
Are you going to leave that glass panel in between those doors? You know how the doors are sitting there, there's like a glass panel you can look in and see.
But yeah, you'll be able to look in. Are you talking about the inside doors?
Side light.
I'm talking about the side light doors.
No, they're.
Or those side lights, so because that's that's always been a dark area anyway, in that little hallway, that little.
You mean when you go in the dark?
Yeah. So I'd hate to see doors just like this at the back, and it'd be all closed off, and there wouldn't be any light there. Then you're just opening up and walking into a dark hallway, and then going into the.
You may want to look at the light and maybe change that. But when you have a lot of glass and you have a lot of breakage, we go through a lot of breakage on those doors. Kids go out and can't go.
probably put a light in there for that extra side light or something.
Yeah. We'll look at the lighting, if that's your question.
I think the lighting would probably be a good situation anyway for...
Anyway,
it's awfully
I'm not
dark
saying
in here.
We can do all these things, these three or four items, or we can start looking at them to get them on our future.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Blankenship.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Mr. Brandt.
Yes.
Mr. Swonger.
Yes.
Mr. Morlock.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Madam President, I'd like to move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board accept the following donations for the amount of $172.29 from Dwight and Kelly Kilbarger to the athletic department.
I was trying to see the clock.
I'll second it.
Motion by Ken, seconded by Dave. Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Morlock.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship.
Yes.
Mr. Brandt.
Yes.
Mr. Swan.
Yes.
Motion carries.
I make a motion to enter into executive session for the purpose of one or more of the following items. Section 1, to consider appointment, employment, dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee or official, or the investigation of charges or complaints against a public employee, official, licensee, or regulated individual. At 8:16.
I'll second it.
Motion by Linda, second by Dave. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Blankenship.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Mr. Brandt.
Yes.
Mr. Swonger.
Yes.
Mr. Morlock.
Yes.
I do not foresee this any action being taken after this meeting. I do not foresee this executive session lasting very long. But we appreciate all of you for coming, and we hope to see you at the next scheduled board meeting, if not before, which will be September 20th. At 7 p.m. here. Okay.
And thank you for the chair. It helped my leg out tremendously. Well, hopefully, I've got both of them replaced now, so I don't have any others to replace. They're both.
Meeting adjourned.
You know, when we were talking about the special meeting to go over the goals and whatnot, you had said that you weren't going to be around for the week, so that you go over the next meeting.
I won't be able, there's one day I won't be able to come on the week. That one's there.
Okay.
But I need to get my schedule in. But that week at night, everything's special.
I'm going to run it.
Except for the night to be scheduled.
Hi, Chris. Hi. Did
my job.
Thanks, Joe.
Wireless.
Y'all set, Chris?
Tomorrow.
I'm
going to have a question down there. I'm bringing the wheelchair Friday.
It looks like
the only other thing.
It looks like that one.
Yeah.
I don't know.